Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
I love being here, guys. It's good to see you all. And yeah, wasn't it amazing to see Teresa up there? It's the first time I've heard you sing. Where is Teresa? Wow, what a beautiful, beautiful voice. There you are. Okay, right, so today I'm going to be reading from Revelations chapter 3, verse 8, and it's, verse 8 and then verse 10 to 11. And it says this, it says, I know your deeds, see, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. Amen. So, rather poignantly, God gave me this verse a few months ago, and it's actually titled, Hold On To Your Crown. Hold on to your crown. And, we know, the Queen passing, it's all over the news, and, she is Queen that held on to her crown, didn't she? And as I read this scripture a few weeks ago, it really resonated with me because I was feeling worn out. My body was tired. I still feel a bit tired, if I'm honest. There is so much going on in my personal life, and I know you guys are going through things as well. There's so much going on with the business, with my kids, staff, and on top of that, there's the war, the rumors of wars, the threats, the cost of living crisis, the fears, the hopelessness that is in this world, and the list goes on and on. But what it makes us realize is that we need a savior. This world needs a savior, and praise God, Jesus is our savior. Amen. Is the good news. And God's promise to us is that when he opens the door, no one can shut it. Amen. And I feel like God is saying that this is the season to hold on to the promises, the prophetic words that God has spoken to you, and to keep standing, keep pressing in. Don't give up. Hold on to your crown. The door may seem shut right now, but it's just a temporary roadblock. He sees how you've endured. He sees that you have little strength even. He sees that you have not given up, and he sees that you have kept his word. And you have not denied his name, even though you have gone through such pain, such suffering, betrayal, loss, disappointment after disappointment. You have not given up. You have remained steadfast, and God sees you. And he is saying that because of this, because you have endured patiently, he will keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test everybody in this world. This really made me think, what more is going to happen in this world? God knows all things. You may think that the ordeal you're going through is the worst for you. It's the worst you've ever gone through. But stop and think. God is saying that he is going to keep us from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world. You know, this thought actually made me shudder. The thought of what worse things could happen. You know, we're seeing droughts, flooding, fires. We think the cost of living is the biggest issue. What if we have no more water? What if our homes get burned down? What if our homes and families are wiped out by flooding? Like we're seeing in like countries like India, you know, in California, all over the place. What if that could be us one day in the United Kingdom? You know, this could happen to us. But God has promised us a way out, church. He has promised that he will work all things for good for those who love him. He may not stop the things that happen to us, but he is giving us the grace to respond in a way that is filled with peace, with joy, and with hope, because we belong to him. And the end, in the end, we win, church. Those that belong to him, we win. We're on the winning side. We are saved. Jesus is coming back soon. And we need to hold on to our crown. So I'm just going to talk about what does holding on to your crown look like. I mean, I shared with you the other week about a dream that I had. And today's preach really is what God's been speaking to me about. And the dream that I had, and I shared it the other week, I was driving in my car and I turned into a road and I could see the road ahead, there was a roadblock. But I could also see that the roadblock was just a temporary one. So in the dream, I pulled over to the left and I waited patiently, but keeping an eye on what was happening ahead. And I could see as soon as a car moved forward, I was able to pull out and move into that space. And I continued to move forward bit by bit, waiting and watching and moving when the opportunity came. And I felt that God was saying to me and to us that you're going to face some roadblocks, but be encouraged. They're only temporary. So realize that the plans and promises and purposes God has spoken over you and the things that he's placed in you, the gifts he's placed in you, don't forget or abandon them. Don't feel tempted to give up and go back to your old ways, old way of living, old mindsets, old tools of managing your life, because they will not sustain you. God is doing something new. You need to keep your eyes fixed on him. Stay in tune with the Holy Spirit. Waiting patiently. On alert. So that when there is room to move, when the opportunity comes, you're quick to move forward. You're in position and ready to move where God says. You see, your journey in this season will feel like stop, start sort of journey. It won't be uninterrupted. So if you think you're going to have a smooth ride, it's not going to happen. But what's really important is to stay connected with Holy Spirit. You know, I loved all the words that came earlier, and it's that, you know, with him you're there, without him you're there. It's with him. And just be encouraged. If you're in a roadblock now, it's just temporary. Don't give up. Enjoy the ride. Have peace. Do good. Keep doing what God is calling you to do. And that's to love him, love yourself, and love others. Waiting is not sitting back and doing nothing. I know a lot of us think that, don't we? We just wait and wait. And this, you know, this really spoke to me, this dream that God gave me, because we've just moved, been a year in our new premises, and got bakery business, for those who don't know us, and we're doing a brand new business model. It's still new, and it felt like God had been putting things on our hearts to do new things, and in order for us to increase the business, because it's a much bigger space, there's room to grow. And as things are growing, we found out that just the other week, our chef is leaving, and we've just launched like a new side of the business, and it's been really growing, and there's real potential for it to grow. And when he announced he was leaving, I was like, I was close to bursting into tears. I was like, God, no, another roadblock. And it really encouraged me, because I just sort of had a little cry. Yeah, I'll be honest, had a little cry. And then I was like, no, I'm going to strengthen myself in the Lord, because this is just a temporary roadblock. And I felt like God was saying, because I was so tempted to go, well, just forget all the plans then, because how am I going to do this, God? And I felt like God was saying, you can't go back to the way you were. You cannot continue in the way you operate, because it's not going to sustain you in the season to come. And I was thinking, right, you know, when we hit a roadblock, isn't it so tempting to just say, forget it? But God was saying, no, don't forget my promises for you, my plans for you. I just want you to hold on. And this was so encouraging for me. You see, the things that God has placed in me and in you, in the church, at the Well here and in Basildon, they're bigger than me and you. They're really, really big, and you cannot achieve it on your own. It's only through Him. It's through God. It's through Holy Spirit that you're able to do it. And God has been talking to me about coming alongside others. Walk with others that have walked that journey and are further than you. And then the other day I was swimming, and still a bit of a learner really, and I can only do the breaststroke properly and the backstroke, looking over at Teresa and Omni, who are swimming instructors. So if you need swimming lessons, go to these guys. And the other day I was swimming, and I managed to, I've been improving my technique and swimming faster with fewer strokes. That sounds like brilliant, doesn't it? Fewer strokes, faster. And I was, at first, I'll be honest, I was a bit like a bird flapping in the water. It's not getting very far. And I would just like swim like this and be out of breath and not really moving anywhere very fast. And I remember, like, my husband, when he swims, he kind of just glides, and then, like, before I know it, he's, like, already at the other end, and he does it in, like, four or five strokes. I'm thinking, how does he do that? So over the time, over the weeks I've been swimming, I've been really focusing on doing fewer strokes, but going further. So I started off, just a bit of history, I was taking about 15 strokes to get from one end to the other, managed to get it down to an 8 or a 9. And I was swimming the other week, and I felt like God saying, go for a 6 like this. And I was thinking, you must be kidding, like this, I'm nearly killing myself doing this. And anyway, at that time, I was sort of average doing 7 strokes per length, and I thought, right, I'm going to go for 6, because I'm going to really focus on my breathing in, and I'm going to really focus on my breathing out, as well as doing my strokes and all that sort of thing. And I managed to do it in 6 amazingly. And what I felt that I was doing on purpose was really taking that breath, but then the breathing out, I was really focusing on breathing out. And that just helped me to just glide underwater. And I felt like God was really speaking to me. And He was saying that that breathing in and breathing out, it's like breathing in is when we take in God's word, when we read his word, when we spend time with him, and we depend on it. It's breathing, it's our air. We can't live without that air, without his word. And then the breathing out bit is the doing it. It's like doing what God is saying. So it's like breathing in and breathing out. And as you do it, you become someone who can just glide. And I just love that word, that strategy, because it's a win-win strategy, you know, when you do fewer strokes, but you get further, and it's much easier. You're not like panting away. And I felt like he was saying metaphorically, you know, this is what we need to do. This is what you need to do. This is how I'm going to take you. This is how high I'm going to take you, by being in step with him, with Holy Spirit. It's not about doing it on your own. It's so easy, isn't it? I'm always guilty of this. Like, I hear from God and thinking, yeah, I can do it. I can do it. And then I end up doing it in my own strength. And we can't do it in our own strength. We could do it in his strength, though. And another picture God gave me was, it's like the difference between like a rowing boat, where you're rowing the boat, all that energy, or you could be on a sailing boat and you're just like feeling the breeze, putting your sails up where the wind blows and the wind is carrying you. And it's just that effortlessness that God was showing me, that what he was calling me to is like so much more. And in my flesh, I'm going, God, I'm absolutely exhausted. I don't know how much more I can do. Anyone else with me here? It's like, you've got this call on my life, and I don't know how I'm going to do it. I'm already dying here, God. It's like, God is saying, I'm going to teach you to glide. I said, yes, Lord. You see, God also, you know, he's been just speaking so much in pictures lately. He gave me this other picture, and I shared it in our leaders' meeting the other day. And it was of this big wheel. I got this picture of a big wheel. So I could go, okay, God, what is that about? And as I pressed in, I saw this picture of, like, you know when you're on a bike and you've got tiny little wheels and you're just pedaling away? And you're not really getting very far, and you're just pedaling and pedaling and pedaling. And then God showed me with a big wheel, like, you know, like one of those big unicycle type wheels. It's like you just do a few turns and you're already, you know, further ahead and going quicker. And I just, as I looked into the picture, I could see that this big wheel actually looked more like a cog. And then as this cog was turning, I could see these smaller cogs that were attached to it. And it was this big wheel that was turning, and then it was turning these little ones. And I felt God was saying that that was also for our church, you know, as we're planting, as, you know, how we are connected with the other churches and how we've planted Basildon. And there's going to be more to come. But also I felt like God was saying that it's a real time to connect and build relationships with those that are further ahead than you. It's that same word. And I felt like God was saying that that big cogwheel, when we move with the Holy Spirit and his strength and his grace, it's that that carries us and moves us. We will go further and do more when we move with him. With him, without him. He has given us a bigger wheel. And as I looked at this cogwheel, I could see there are lots of teeth around the wheels. It's then another teeth attaches to the smaller teeth of the smaller cogs, and that's what, you know, connects them and causes them to turn together. And I felt like God was just showing me that we need to take care of our teeth, because, you know, if those teeth get broken, we can have quite a bit of a bumpy journey. You know, we can disconnect, we can fall away. And I felt like God was saying, you know, like teeth, we need to keep them clean, take care of them daily, otherwise is they will decay over time. And I felt like God saying that, you know, we need to take care of our relationship with Father God, with Jesus, with Holy Spirit. We need to be in his word, in his presence, and we need to be obedient to what he's asking us to do. You know, we need to stay connected to someone that is, you know, whether it's your mentor, whether it's someone who's discipling you, you know, also in our church family, you know, for the business. I know God is saying to us, we need to connect with people that are further ahead than us. And to be honest, that really means I have to let go of pride, because, you know, that's something I've struggled with, that, you know, I've always been taught, no, you just need to do it yourself. It's down to you. It's all about you. And it's almost like failure if you have to ask for help from others. And God was saying, no, this is what I want you to, this is how you're going to do it. You're not going to be able to do it on your own. You know, God wants us to ride and come alongside, or have others come alongside us to help us to where he wants to take us. It's all about relationship, collaborations. So I was so surprised that actually, this is just something really random I'm just going to share. So yesterday, I was doing some latte art. I'm a barista when I'm in the bakery. Well, I do barista work. Anyway, I was doing some, not even trying, and ended up doing some latte art, and it looked like a camel. And I was like, oh my gosh, I've just drawn a camel. I don't know how I did that. And I got so excited, I was showing the customer, and I thought, this is just so random that I got a camel. And then later on in the evening, I was reading a passage in the script, in the scriptures, and it talked about the camel. And I was thinking, God, what are you saying to me? I love how God speaks. And I've forgotten this morning, but he reminded me. And so I looked up, okay, what is the meaning of camel? And I looked it up, and the camel is symbolic of something that is impossible to accomplish without God. So at the same time, I love how God speaks. I was listening to He is a God of Miracles. And the word today, it's like, whatever God's called you to, we need to realise, I need to realise that without God, it is impossible. You know, to forgive someone that's hurt you, without God, it is impossible. To, you know, I don't know, go, you know, to plant another church, without God, it is impossible. Whatever it is that God's called you to, without God, it's going to be impossible. But amen, God is a God of miracles. So, I'm just going to read also from this. It says, 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 to 24. So, how do we hold on to the crown? Well, it says here, may God himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole, make you whole and holy, and put you together, spirit, soul, and body, and keep you fit for the coming of our Master Jesus Christ. The one who called you is completely dependable, and if he said he'll do it, he'll do it. That was the Message version. It is God. It is God who will keep you fit for the coming of our Master Jesus Christ. Amen. He is completely dependable. You know, persevering is not trying harder. Persevering is actually letting go and letting God work through us and with us. You know, how many times, and I'm going to put my hand up straight away, have you felt anxiety over things outside of your control? You see, we often get caught up with worrying about what's next in our lives, you know, what's God calling me to, what's the next career, you know, what's going on in our families, you know, our health, the cost of living again, global warming, wars, all those things. And the weight, that weight of the future can get very heavy. I'll let you know a truth that's going to set you free. That weight, that heavy weight, is one you were never meant to carry. You were never meant to carry it. You're not supposed to know what's going to happen tomorrow. You're not supposed to know what's going to happen next week or next year. You see, we were made to keep company with God so that we can learn to live freely and lightly. Who wants to live like that? Freely and lightly, no matter what your circumstances. I love this version, Matthew 11, 28, 30, and it's a message version. It says, are you tired, anyone? Are you worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace, because I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. See, we were made to cast all our cares, all our anxieties, because he cares for us. He cares for you. He delights in you. We were made to trust in the Lord with all our hearts. That's how we were made. We're made not to lean on our own understanding, but instead submitting to his will in all things, so that he is the one that is directing our paths. See, nowhere, not anywhere in the scriptures does God ask us to figure it all out, figure out your next steps so that we can live our lives on our own. It doesn't say that anywhere in the scripture. Yet, you know, he called Abraham and Sarah out of their home country. They just left, didn't they, to an unknown place. They just left. They didn't know where they were going. They just were obedient and left so that God could use them to establish his people in the new land that he was leading them to. They didn't know where they were going. Why do we think we need to know where we're going? They didn't know how they were going to do it. They didn't know what they were going to do. Why do we think we need to know everything? Similarly, he calls us to step out into the unknown with him. With the promise that the one who called you is completely dependable. Just look back. How many times has God been faithful in your lives? He is completely dependable. If he said it, he'll do it. Having a relationship with God requires us to be open. Open hands, open heart, open mind, open will. We need to keep our ears open to what he has to say, and our minds open to what he asks us to do. We don't need to know the details of the future to fully trust God with it. We just need to be obedient and take each step he places before us, one step at a time. Be watchful, listen, and do. God isn't keeping us from any secrets. The bigger picture is, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. It's so simple, yet so wonderful. What great love, what perfect hope we have, because we don't have to carry the future. We only need to trust and obey the one who does. Lloyd, can you just come up and just strum a little bit? So I just want you to remember, what is God calling you to do? What's the calling on your life? If you're not sure, just ask God, what are the gifts that you've placed in me? Go from there. And realize that that's an invitation to partner with him. You cannot do it alone. It's impossible without God. But praise God, he is with us. And he will never leave us. Amen. He will never forsake us. So let's just lean into him. Can you just stand, actually? Let's just let this, close your eyes, open your hands. Just let these words minister to you. Just lean into him. Holy Spirit's right there. Learn to glide. And you will look back and think, how did I ever accomplish this? And you'll give glory to God, because he is faithful and he is good. And he is the God of the impossible. It says, I know your deeds. I see. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. No one is shutting this door. I am not shutting this door. You need to know that God is not shutting this door, because he has opened it. And he knows what you've been through. He knows how little strength some of you may have. He knows all things. He knows that you've kept his word even when it's costed you so much. When you've been tempted to give up, you've not denied his name. And he says, since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. I am coming soon. So hold on to what you have, so that